Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Ellie from Wolf Alice.
And I'm Joe from Wolf Alice.
Okay, so we need to do this, just because she might hear this eventually. What is Ellie doing right now?
She was in Alcatraz, taking a tour around Alcatraz, and I think there was some kind of miscommunication. Someone will be fired from our team, I assure you. And she's not here, unfortunately, but you have the two worst members of the band.
Thank goodness.
I am Joel. I thought you were talking about Joff when you were saying that. So.
Wait, are you sure who you are, though?
Yeah.
We got your Brits, we got your Grammys, we got your article in the New Yorker. Oh, let's clear this one up. You formed in 2012 as a band. However, in 2010, there was a partnership.
Someone's edited our Wikipedia page.
Let's clarify that. It was James who played drums before I did, not George Barnett or Barlett. That seems to have been.
Pete Best played drums before you did.
Pete Best?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was the fifth Beatle.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize he was the drummer, though. Wasn't he the one that got... Which was the one that got him into, like, Lonnie Donegan or whatever and got him when he was a Corian man?
Oh, now
he was the cool one.
Okay, I can go there with you.
My sister's got
I own Lonnie Donegan 45s, believe it or not. I can go there with you.
There's a really good new Lonnie Donegan documentary out by a guy called Jim Carter, and it features Jack White and Paul McCartney and everyone talking about how influential Lonnie Donegan was. So there's a push and a plug for you, Jim, wherever you are.
Yeah.
Grumpy.
Where's the money?
Cash isn't here. It's in a suitcase.
Tell me something that about the band that never seems to make it to the surface. Number two, tell me a deep, dark secret. And by the way, you can use Ellie's deep, dark secret. Or number three, you can lie about something about the band.
We didn't win any of those awards you talked about. I've never listened to a whole Hole or Elastica album. And I'm very anxious.
We won a Grammy. I'm starting at the other end. I haven't listened to a whole record by a whole either, or Elastica, but I've listened. But I like the Trigger Happy TV theme tune, which is by Elastica, supposedly. That's a fact about me.
It took a few years, but really what it came down to is you had the songs, but you didn't want to just make a record and suddenly go, uh-oh, I'm out here, and we're just going to play the album, correct?
Correct. I think with the climate of the internet and hype and the way that this furnace is created around you, people think you need to put out an album as soon as someone has reblogged one song 15 times. But we wanted to gain a body of work and establish ourselves as live musicians and in the recording studio. Also, there was a whole shitload of scheduling problems and like that.
Okay.
We had the songs. We didn't make the record that quickly, but then again, I don't think taking a year to make a record is that long. And in hindsight, I'm really proud of us that we did, because I think we're more proud of the record we made from waiting rather than rushing it.
It's not about the hype. It's not about the album. It's not about any of that. But it really is about the fact that you thought about it and said, "Oh, we want to actually make songs that we actually like."
Yeah, and I think that's always been our mantra. Our songs are. We're all fans of songwriters and crafting songs, and there's four songwriters in the band. And I think people can use the word pop is a dirty term. And I think good pop is a good song. And just because we're using distorted guitars to execute our ideas or maybe our preconceptions of a good pop song doesn't mean that we're not just as much a pop band as Miley Cyrus if we have good songs. That just means popular. But I don't know what constitutes a good song. I think it's a generally like palpable emotion and something that stirs something inside people. And I think Ellie has a very good capability of encouraging that lyrically, speaking for her now because she's obviously imprisoned.
Yeah. I think if you can play something, if you can play an arrangement with just using just your voice and a piano and acoustic guitar, then it's a good song. I think if you can just strip it down to the bare minimum and it can still resonate with somebody, then I think you've written a good song, which is why classic songs have got so many different versions and covers of them. And that's why Yesterday by Paul McCartney is just like the most covered song of all time, because it's like probably the purest song, one of the purest songs of all time. I think that's something we all like respect, you know, living in an era where bedroom producers can, you know, outproduce people in studios. You don't have to keep up with technology, you just have to write a better song than somebody else, I think. And that's something I think we try to focus on and push ourselves with each different tune.
But it's a record of bad songs, so you won't like it.
That's why I haven't played it and I know nothing about you. So it just works out well. When did the day jobs go away?
When we got signed, I guess.
When we got signed was when it was really capable to completely throw ourselves into it. I hadn't worked for about 6 weeks before we signed, but we were doing different bits and jobs here and there. We had very encouraging families who were kind of let us be bums on the sofa and stuff like that, which is, you know, quite beneficial to any band. It's really difficult to do two things at the same time, but if you can strike a balance, then, you know, carry on doing it.
But the music industry is also kind of deceiving in the fact that there's a quote out there that at least one member of your band still can't afford to move out of their parents' house, which I thought was an interesting... Now, let's see if we can debunk that or tell it whether it's true, but everybody makes the assumption that you're on a tour bus, you've got the record out, and next thing you know, you're making, you know, billions of dollars. Not quite yet, right?
No, that's not true at all. The three of us, me, Ellie and Joel, live on our parents' sofas or in our parents' houses. You know, we could move to somewhere else. I live in London. I've grown up in London my whole life. It's very expensive to live there. I think I can, and now I can move out. Obviously, we did 150 shows last year, so it's difficult to justify putting...
Yeah, why have an apartment, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, we're by no means in the same position as a lot of people who have it worse than us, and again, thankful to our family. But it's a really tricky area in music, and it can choke creativity, finance.
I want you each to ask each other a question you've always wanted to ask each other.
Where do you get your hair conditioner from?
It's Head & Shoulders, actually. It's not the most exciting brand, but it really works for the length and for the...
kind. You get that at the Tesco?
I think I got it at Sainsbury's rather than Tesco. I don't have a particular preference of Sainsbury's over Tesco. Yeah, I like both brands. I mean, they're both probably horrific to the environment, but yeah. Also, Theo, who's your best friend?
Probably Joff.
Yeah, okay.
It's Joel.
Still the word indie. This is my favorite word because, you know, the fact of the matter is you are on a, quote, indie label, but you're also on a major label, right? And this is where you're Mindy.
We're Mandy. Molly. We're Molly.
How do we get beyond all that and just... get back to the music. Thoughts?
You choose what you want to engage with, personally, on a personal level. I mean, there's so many different options. The internet is oversaturation, I think, and now you just have to choose what you're into. It's the technology's so new that I think the generation that have grown up with the introduction of it don't necessarily know how to use it. I think the beauty of Twitter and Facebook in terms of for bands is it does give everyone an equal kind of opportunity to an extent to put yourself out there, and that's cool. But, you know, like you said, you have a judge of what's good and what's bad, and that's not going to change just because there's more stuff.
Yeah, there we go.
That was Guns N' Roses doing Sweet Child of Mine, Coachella.
That's basically what all the new songs are going to sound like. So, are you going to continue to mix it up with different genres and different feels and different BPMs on your future songs when you finish touring 150 a year for the new fans that are dying for more of your music?
Yes, we're going to make new music really quickly. It's all reggae at 170 BPM. It's going to be a
170 BPM reggae.
Yeah, it's
dance mix. So you're going to have Skrillex do the dance mix?
No, Diplo, and it's over 15 different EPs that only have 30-second songs on each EP. But genuinely, on a serious note, we are going to make music as soon as we possibly get off the road. No word of a lie. And we're going to put it out as quick as possible and probably no longer survive from touring and putting out music too quickly.
Hey, look, at least you haven't used the words album cycle here.
No, because I don't work for the labels we're signed to.
Yeah. Are you out of the album cycle?
I don't know or care.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread. And then songs on the inside by anybody you want to play